It's good to be here with you this morning. There are many who are visiting with us, and we're very thankful for your presence. We know there are some that are traveling through the area or have been visiting for the holiday week, and we're thankful for that. We hope that you will have a safe trip home and come to see us again whenever you have opportunity. There are also many that are not here with us of our congregation, who are doing the same thing in other places. They're traveling to see family and loved ones, and we hope that they are having a good trip and will return safely to us as well. The lesson this morning is one that is somewhat, I'll say, inspired by the Thanksgiving holiday. But I wanted to take maybe a little bit different look at it. One of the things that I'm very thankful for as a follower of Christ is the inspired guidance that God gives us through His Word. You know, all throughout Scripture, our Lord has revealed to us how we can live a life that is holy and acceptable to Him. There's really not anything that we have to question or really be concerned that we are without answer when it comes to being faithful to God. God has given us everything that we need that pertains to salvation in His Word. But He's given us so much more as well. When we are trying to figure out how to conduct ourselves in this life as it relates to so many things, seeking out God's guidance in His Word usually, always, find us an answer. Inspired writer in James teaches us the gravity of choosing our words. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. James 3, verse 8 through 9. So the Scripture tells us how we're to talk. The Lord Himself establishes the foundational guidelines for our worship. When John recorded these words, "God is spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." John 4, 24. So how we are to worship Him is something we find the guiding principles for in God's Word. We read about the only God-approved pattern for marriage in Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. "Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." You know, it seems that the world today is trying to figure out what marriage is supposed to look like, and has been for a long time. Even to the point we can't even, as a society, determine whether that's men, women, fill in the blank. But God's Word gives us guidance if we will only seek it out. How do we raise children? Ephesians 6, verse 4, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What kind of employees should we be? Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Colossians 3, verse 23. How do we worship? How do we treat strangers, the lost, our brethren? How do we become a Christian? The Bible has the answers. We need only look and have the faith to believe it to be true. So this morning, I want to focus on something that God gives us guidance on in His Word. And that's giving thanks. We can find passage after passage of individuals who give thanks to God. And without fail, when it's sincere thankfulness, there's always something that accompanies that thanksgiving. And that is action. God's Word gives us a pattern for true thankfulness, and it is an active one. It's not just something that we say. For the parents in the room, how often have you told your child, "Show me"? You're thankful for that? Well, show me that you're thankful for it. Children, how often have you heard that? You know, our Father in heaven asks us the same thing when it comes to our thankfulness. Let's observe some passages together that give us a pattern of how God describes this act of thankfulness. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. I had a hard time giving Jeremy a verse this morning because we're going to be in several. So I hope you have your Bibles ready. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll begin verse 32. Then Jesus calls his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I'm unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "Seven and a few small fish." And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. First here we observe that the Lord had compassion. He had compassion not only on the spiritual needs of these people, which he had been addressing through his lesson, but he had compassion on their physical needs. He saw a group that had been so ingrained into His Word, into what He was doing in teaching them, that for 3 days they had been with Him and not eaten. Well, most of us, our stomach starts to growl after about 30 minutes of a sermon, doesn't it? Can you imagine 3 days and listening to the Lord preach and no food? He was aware of that. He told his disciples, he said, I want to feed them. I don't want them to leave. Well, disciples had some concern about that. There's a lot of people here. We're in a desolate place. There's not a market here that we can just simply go buy food for them. What's your plan, Lord? So then he evaluated his blessing. He evaluated what he had access to, and that was what? 7 loaves and a few fish. And upon evaluating his blessings, he gave thanks for those. But he didn't stop there. After giving thanks, he gave. We are to be thankful and give. He shared his blessings. In James 2, verse 15 through 16, we read, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace and be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? It is not any good for us to give thanks, for us to be happy for our blessings, and not to share them with others. Galatians 6:10 says, "Take every opportunity to do good to others, especially your brethren." So when we are giving thanks for what we have been blessed with, Let's follow that up with giving blessings to others. That's an act of thankfulness that God has given us a pattern for in His Word. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. I'm sorry, verse 1, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. We are to be thankful and pray. The greatest way that we can show our thankfulness for one another is to bring each other before God in prayer. How often do we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, it's often a prayer here from the pulpit for our elders, for our deacons, for our preacher. I've done it. How often, though, in our private prayers, how often even from this pulpit, do we pray for all of our brethren? Are we thankful for each other to the point that we are willing to present each other to God in prayer? Paul knew the power of having brethren pray for him. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. You know, Paul often found himself in a bad way because of his service to God. But what is one of the things that he said caused him to rejoice? Knowing that the prayers of others were there for him. We are to be thankful and pray. We're to be thankful for each other and pray for each other. We're to be thankful for the blessings that God has given us and pray to God. It's an act of thankfulness. An act of thankfulness in giving, an act of thankfulness in our prayer. Let's add this. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Beginning in verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. We are to be thankful and speak. We are to be thankful and speak. Are you thankful for God's Word? Are you thankful for Christ? Are you thankful for His life, his death, his resurrection. Are you thankful for those things? If so, why don't you talk about it? Everything else in our life that we are thankful for, we are at the ready to have a conversation about. I am thankful for my kids. And you ask anyone in my office, I'm ready to talk about them. I'm thankful for my wife. And again, anyone who knows me knows that I'm ready to talk about her in a good way. I'm thankful for my job, my blessings. There's so many things in my life that I'm thankful for that I am ready and willing and excited to talk about. Am I thankful for God? Am I thankful for His Son? Am I thankful for the sacrifice that He made for me? If so, I should talk about it. Not just when I've been asked to get in the pulpit. Not just when I'm teaching a class. And this is something that I ask your prayers for. It's easy when we are put in a position to talk about it like this. But I'm talking about out there. I'm talking about out in the world, at our job, at school, perhaps even in our home if necessary because of a situation there. Are we thankful enough for God that we are willing to speak about Him? God is asking us that question that we talked about earlier that our parents ask us sometimes, or not that question, but that statement of, show me, show me. Turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Beautiful interaction here between Jesus and Peter. We begin reading in verse 15. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lamb. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. The Lord asked us that same question. Do you love me? Of course we answer yes. Then what does he say? Speak. Isn't that what he's saying here to Peter? Tend my sheep? What did he mean? Speak. Right? Feed my sheep. Feed them what? The gospel. Do you love me? Yes, show me. Because Peter's response was just that, thank you, Lord, right? You know I love, thank you, Lord, you know I love you. Oh, you're such a blessing. But Jesus, he said, you can't stop there. If you love me, show me. Be thankful. And speak. Later, what did Peter and John say whenever they were confronted in Acts chapter 4 and told not to speak? What did they say? We can't help it. We can't help it. Cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And by the way, you tell us, which is better, obey you or obey God? We can't help it. Why? Because they loved God. They were thankful for Him. And they spoke. That's the kind of thanksgiving, active thanksgiving, that God describes for us in His Word. The pattern He gives us, be thankful and speak. How about Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 21. This is the passage that Jeremy read for us. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. If you move on down to chapter 6, verse 17. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And then in chapter 7, verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, and with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Paul, in writing to the Romans here, was trying to get them to understand that there is this war, this battle going on between the spirit and the flesh. And he fails. He fails. He knows what to do, but doesn't do it. That's that flesh component he's talking about that's so difficult. But in that verse, he's talking about thanksgiving to God and serving the law of God. Why? Because we are to be thankful and honor or obey. It's not a state of mind, thankfulness in God's eyes. It's not a state of mind. It's not just that, you know, I'm a thankful person. It's action. And where does that action come from? It comes from character. And that's character grown from love. Turn to John 14. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Scroll down to verse 23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. We can't just tickle the ears of God in prayer of thanksgiving. We can't just give some flowery thank you, Lord, prayer and then fail to obey Him and think that our prayers are going to be heard. It's not a state of mind. It's action built in character and grown from love for God. That's thanksgiving. That's thankfulness. It's obedience. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. If all you are giving God in thanksgiving is your prayer, you're falling short. falling short. It's again, it's that idea of a child to their parent saying, thank you for this or that. Thank you for doing this or that. And then being disobedient. Thankfulness is action. Thankfulness is obedience. We are to be thankful and honor or obey God. Then turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think Paul said to give thanks always? Is it an expectation that we walk through our life and we know everything is a gift from God, we know everything is a blessing from God? Is it an expectation that we, well, thank you, Lord, for that breath, and thank you, Lord, for that breath, and for that heartbeat, and thank you, Lord, for me not tripping on that step, and then that next step, and is that the expectation from God? No, it's not. It's not realistic to think of it in that way. But what is it that he means by that, and what is it he's asking for when he says, be thankful always? It's attitude, isn't it? Isn't that what he's talking about? It's having a thankful attitude continually. And then he goes on from that to say, not only thankful always, but for everything. Doesn't that help to shape it even more? So to be thankful always, oh, but, well, Lord, you mean always except for when something bad happens, right? Always during the good times. No. What does he say? Giving thanks always and for everything, right? Case in point, James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. We could just as easily say in that, be thankful, right? Give joy, be thankful. Thankful, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. So when difficulties come, what are we to do? Be thankful. God says, be thankful and don't stop. How is our attitude perceived? We talked about this, right? It's about attitude. How is our attitude perceived? Through our actions, isn't it? It's through our actions. Whether that be in a word action or in a physical deed action. Your attitude is perceived by others through action. So again, thanksgiving, as God has designed it and illustrated it for us in His Word, is active. Be thankful and don't stop. Be thankful and obey God. Be thankful and speak. Be thankful and pray. Be thankful and give. This is how God illustrated thankfulness for us in His Word. This is how he described it for us. It wasn't just a say thank you and you're done. It was a be thankful and act like it. Be thankful and show me. Our thanksgiving does not stop at our words. It's confirmed and highlighted in our actions. Are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful? I know that's what this week past has been consumed with. Many I know even have maybe a tradition, you'll call it, of going around a table and saying what you're thankful for. I know Dustin shared an opportunity on our Facebook page to to share what you're thankful for as it relates to our congregation here. We love to take that opportunity to say, well, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, I'm blessed with this, I'm blessed with that. But is that where we stop? Is that where we stop? Are you thankful this morning? And are your actions in alignment with that thanksgiving? If they're not, you can change that. You can change that. If you have obeyed God and you are a Christian, yet your actions are not in alignment with the thanksgiving that you should have for being a Christian and the blessings that come with it, you can change that. If it's been of a public nature, you can come forward this morning asking for the forgiveness of those here, asking for God's forgiveness, and He'll forgive you. We'll forgive you. And you can turn and walk again in a right relationship with God. If you have not obeyed the gospel, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you can fix that too. You can repent of the sins that you have committed. You can turn your life from those things and turn to God to follow Him. You can confess that Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And be thankful for the grace that God gives us through that, because it's going to wash us clean of our sins and we'll be able to walk in newness of life following Him. If you are thankful this morning, make sure that your actions show it. Whatever your need may be, if you need to come forward this morning, please do so as we stand and sing.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.